It's time. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to open your mind. It's time to grow up and face reality. It's time to lock and load because it's Meat Trapper time.
Spend so much time on the hunt, but nothing ever quite does it for us. And we get so wrapped up in the hunt that it kind of makes us miserable.
Black Friday shopping mania is still playing out tonight at malls across America.
High hopes of saving some big bucks on those holiday gifts.
Stores filled to the brim.
In some cases, it did turn violent.
We've, as a culture, have lost our minds.
There's no question that what it means to have achieved the American dream has increased tremendously in material terms.
This is not something that just happened yesterday. This is something that has been sold to us over the past 100 years by those that want to make a whole lot of money.
Now that's what I call a good-looking car.
You have this thing that you were obsessed about, but then the new version comes out, and now you no longer care about the one you have. In fact, the one you have is a source of dissatisfaction.
People are beginning to recognize that they've maybe been tricked.
There is no out until you become aware. You're not going to get happier by consuming more.
Ready?
I was born ready.
There's nothing wrong with consumption. The problem is compulsory consumption. We're tired of it. We're tired of acquiring things because that's what we're supposed to do.
When I heard about minimalism, it wasn't about just getting rid of my stuff. It was about taking control of my life and stop being told what to do and actually deciding what I wanted to do.
When I first started reducing the number of things in my life, I found out that I had 51 things in the entire world.
We've probably sold or donated at least 90% of our stuff.
As I started to move that stuff out, I was able to finally realize what I had sacrificed.
I don't know what the most common three words are in American homes. I don't know if it's I love you or if it's I want that.
This same thing that's not making us happy is also causing the degradation of our habitat.
We're going to have to give up a lot. The secret is that a lot of that we're not actually going to miss.
What I found with minimalism is it's a way of saying, let's stop the madness.
When you recognize that this life is yours and that it is your one and only, and when that seeps directly in your bones and you recognize that this is it, everything changes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Meat Trapper Radio. And this is the first edition of Meat Trapper Radio that is coming to you entirely from my new state of Tennessee. I am sitting in my kayak on the Red River, just off the Cumberland River up here. And it is a beautiful, beautiful day. And I tell you, it's such a relief to be able to turn my computer off and in about 15 minutes be on the river. That really changes your life, and it really changes your outlook on life. And I'm out scouting because I've got to get new territory. Trapping season will be here before you know it. And now is the time to be getting your gear in shape. As a matter of fact, with my move, I've been unpacking all my gear. And I had a bunch of spools of wire. You know, being a snareman, I use a lot of wire, 9-gauge wire, 14-gauge wire, 11-gauge wire. I use it all. And I had a bunch of wire that I had purchased at the end of last season, and it still had all the grease on it. And so I've got to get that out and get that rusted off and get it ready to go. So that's the kind of thing that you need to be worried about this time of the year, is getting your stuff ready. And if you need any supplies or any snares, contact southernsnares.com. Give Brian a call down there or look him up on the web. Because I promise you, and I'm not just saying this, I promise you, you will not find better made snares anywhere. And I don't say that lightly. I'm a snareman. That's what I use. That's what I prefer. And I'm very picky about it. And Brian makes better snares than I can make. And I don't know what else to say to that. But anyway, we're getting close to some more conventions. I hear that everybody had a good national show. I wish I could have been there, but it just wasn't possible. But I'm looking forward to the Mississippi show, and then I'm looking forward to the Southeastern Nationals in Rainesville. And then after that, I'm hoping to make it to the West Tennessee show and meet up. That's something that's high on my list. But I think we've got an interesting show tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of different topics. And I get this email fairly often, and I want to share it with you. It's from Joe. And I want to tell you why this is such an important topic. He's asking about blogging and sharing ideas and whether or not he should get started in all of this. And let me just read you what Joe said. He said, "Do you have any thoughts on blogging? I have the urge to share my trials and tribulations in the outdoors. From a very hands-on, do-it-yourself angle, probably with a focus on making food. I can't decide if fishing and hunting, plus the 100 other things that go with them, is too broad. Some places you read, you need to be real focused, and others that you need to be broad enough so that you have plenty of room to create content. It seems there are so many already in this space. I have an idea of where to start, and I'm continually adding ideas for articles. Some things like hosting, internet hosting, web hosting, make me scratch my head, though. As someone who uses the interactive internet, is it worth it? You hear some staggering numbers, which are unbelievable and thrown around in the blogging world, but I can only assume that most people earn about zero. I'd still like to share my story, though. I'm not sure where I'm going with all this. I feel like I'm just rambling. Maybe I need someone to bounce ideas off of. My goal long term is to develop a side income stream. I'm interested in podcasting, but don't feel like I'm quite there yet, and maybe can't make the investment in equipment. A blog, though, seems attainable, and I have plenty of content in mind. Thanks, Joe." Well, Joe, I've got three words for you. Just do it. And I mean that, man. Just do it. And it doesn't really matter what you talk about or what you write about at first, because what's going to happen is as you get going, your ideas and your thoughts and your methodology are going to coalesce. And the best thing I can do is just sort of describe what I did and how I did it. And hopefully this won't be too boring or too long and drawn out. But I first started blogging on blogspot.com. You can go and get a free website. You don't have to worry about hosting or anything like that. You just sign up and you get a basic blog, and you can start putting your content out there. And you give your blog a name. And my first blog, I don't even know if it's still on the internet or if it's or what's going on with it, but it was called butternutandchicory.blogspot.com. So Butternut and Chicory was the name of my blog. And I named it because the Confederate forces used butternut to dye their homespun woolen uniforms. And chicory was an additive that the Confederates added to coffee during the war, because the Union had blockaded all the southern ports, and so coffee became hard to get. Then it finally became unobtainable, and chicory was something that was a coffee substitute. And so people would get chicory, and it's like the roots of like a radish-related plant. They would roast the chicory, grind it up, and make a coffee-like drink out of it, and it has a unique flavor. And after the war, people had developed that taste, and even after coffee became available again, people would add chicory to it because they had spent so many years consuming that flavor and were used to it. And today, if you go down to New Orleans, they specialize in coffee with chicory. And it's personally, when I was a coffee drinker, and I had to stop a while back, but when I was so much into adding chicory to my coffee that I would roast my own beans, grind my own coffee, and I would buy roasted chicory, and I would mix it myself. So that was my first blog, butternutandchicory.blogspot.com. And I developed a couple of followers. You know, it was nothing much. Nobody could find it. You know, it's not very search engine optimized and all of that. And so I started going on internet forums and posting links to my articles, and that helped generate traffic, and it got a little more popular and a little more popular. And finally, it got to the point where I decided, you know, I was going to start making videos. And so I started my Meat Trapper YouTube channel. And the reason that I first started making videos was not to help other people or to make any kind of money or anything like that. Which you're not going to make any money, trust me. I can promise you that. I don't, and I've been doing it for years. But when my son was born, I wanted to make sure that if anything unexpected happened to me, that my son would grow up and he would at least have a visual record of who I was and what I enjoyed doing and how I did it. And so my first videos were all oriented around teaching my young son how to trap and how to fish and how to hunt and all of that, if I weren't there. And then something interesting happened. A lot of other people started watching the videos, and they started liking the format, because mine was an instructional-style format. Mine's not a very entertaining format like Boss of the Swamp. Boss of the Swamp does very little in the way of instruction, but it's all, you know, feel-good type of videos, and he's very good at what he does. It's just two different genres. So my first advice, Joe, is decide what it is you want to do. You know, are you trying to instruct? Are you trying to share with people what you do or convey a sense of pleasure that you get from the outdoors, or maybe a little bit of all three? Blogging is an easy way to get started because, like you say, you don't need a lot of equipment. You don't need a good camera. You don't need editing equipment or anything like that. And it's a great way to get in the habit of putting stuff on the internet. And then just go from there. And the reason that it's important for you to do this is not only to develop a second income stream, which is crucially important for a number of reasons, and I've harped on this over and over and over again, that you cannot be dependent upon one income stream that can be taken away by somebody else. And also the confidence you get from once you start getting a little bit of money in, I don't care if it's only 50 bucks a month, you know, if you get something coming in, you realize that, hey, you can do this, and then you can do it over and over and over again, and you can diversify and broaden, and then you're, in a couple of years, you're really doing something, you know. But the primary thing is I get emails literally multiple times a week from people that said, you know, I just found your podcast, and for so long I thought I was all alone. I didn't realize there was anybody else out there that thought like I did. And now I realize there are other people just like me. And you see, the key is there are a lot of people out there that we need to reach. There are a lot of people out there just like us that think they're alone, that think they're outnumbered, because they don't see anything like us in the media. And we're never going to be allowed in the mainstream media. But the more informational streams that we have of people like us, the more people like them we're going to reach. And the more people will realize that they're not alone. And that builds a sense of community. And that way, when YouTube or Patreon or PayPal takes one of us down and puts us off in the deep freeze, there's others out there. And we have to build that self-reinforcing mesh network, and we need to communicate with each other. And so I have a standing offer, and I've made this offer to other people, that if you have a blog or you have a podcast or you want to start podcasting, once you get a few episodes under your belt and once you show me that you're going to stick to it, I will guest host you on my YouTube channel and on this podcast. I will share this space with anyone, not on their first episode or their second episode, but show me a little bit of body of work and show me that you're going to stick to it. And in return for putting forth that effort, I'll do everything I can to boost you. So that's an open offer, not only to Joe, but to the feral man and to anyone else who's listening. And I think, you know, that's more than I got. I can promise you that. So anyway, another thing that I want to briefly mention is the trap giveaway. Now, if you are not a Patreon supporter, then you probably don't know about this. But what I'm doing on my Patreon page is I am doing a trap giveaway. I'm giving away some 220 Belials that are outfitted with circle triggers that I put on them. Number 2 American chain. They're all ready to go. And these are traps that I use on my trap line. These are great otter traps. They really are. And all you have to do to enter the contest is go to Patreon and go to the post and just say, I'm in. And I have done a random drawing. And in the original contest, I said I was going to choose one winner to get a box of traps. And I've changed that. I'm going to choose 2 winners. That's right. So out of the people that clicked on the post and said, I'm in, I'm picking 2 people. I've picked them at random, and your traps will go out Monday morning. And to find out who won, you're going to have to wait to the end of the show. Yep, you're going to have to listen to me ramble on for a little bit longer before you found out who won the traps. And when you hear this and you hear your name called, email me your shipping address at meattrapper@gmail.com, and I'll drop the traps in the mail postpaid. All you got to do is wait for them to show up. Now, the next thing I'm going to talk about is something that'll probably piss some people off. But you know, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you ought to be used to that. Because sooner or later, everybody gets their axe gored. You know, their ox gored, rather. And as you know, I just recently bought a new house, and it's new construction. I bought it from a builder. And of course, anytime you do that, there's going to be little things that need touching up, or you know, didn't get done right, or need to be addressed, or what have you. And so after you move in, they're constantly sending a stream of people out to you know fix this or finish doing that or you know touch this up or what have you. Well, about a day and a half after we moved in, I noticed a spot on our ceiling, and it looked like we had a leak, a water leak. And I got up the next morning and the spot had grown, and it was most definitely a water leak. And it was softening the sheetrock in the ceiling of my brand new house. So we called the builder. Hey, there's something leaking up there. He sends somebody out to take a look. Well, he sends the sheetrock guy out. And here's where it's probably going to piss some people off. And that is, the guy that he sends out, this is an older white guy. And this guy, he looks like hell. When he shows up, he looks homeless. He's a big old fat guy. And his belly's poking out from under his shirt. And he looks like he just woke up, and he's got a Hardee's biscuit in his hand that he's eating on it when he's standing in my front door. And I bring him in and I show him where the leak is, and I make the mistake of asking him. I say, "How you doing? Good morning." Well, he takes that as the opportunity to start telling me all about this hernia that he has and how much of a problem it's causing him and how he doesn't have enough money to afford to get it fixed, and it just goes off on this tangent, you know. And there's no discussion about my ceiling about to fall in or you know why he's there. It's all about him and his problems and his issues. And so finally, you know, he finishes up, and I tell him I'm very sorry to hear that, and I hope he gets better soon, and the leak is right over here. Well, then he starts up with, well, this stuff happens, and I don't know if it's going to be 100% perfect when we're done, and it's going to be a multiple trip thing, and it's just one thing after another. So he finally turns around and leaves. He's going to have to send somebody else out. Well, the next guy that comes out is a young Mexican. This guy, He actually has his shirt tucked in. He comes out. He's very nice, very polite. Spreads plastic drop cloths everywhere. Sets his ladder up. He had removed his shoes before he came in. Climbs up and he gets to work. And he comes in and he cuts a section of sheetrock out. Finds the leak. Plumber's going to come out and fix the leak. So he and I start talking. And he was kind of surprised that I spoke Spanish. So we start talking. And we had a really nice conversation. Very nice guy. Very well-spoken guy. Very polite. Very professional. Did a great job. When he cleaned up, you couldn't tell that anybody had been there. There wasn't one speck of sheetrock dust anywhere. So they come out and fix the leak. And the Mexican guy comes back out and screws a new piece of sheetrock up there. And then they're going to have to come back and mud it in and sand it and paint it and all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, for all of the little touch-up stuff, the white guy shows back up. When he finishes and leaves, I've got sheetrock mud dripped all over my hardwood floors. There's dust everywhere. And, you know, I'm not in favor of open borders, and I do believe we need to build a wall, and I don't believe in welfare for illegals. But you know what? If we would get our shit together, maybe there wouldn't be such a huge demand to bring those people across the border to do work that we're perfectly capable of doing ourselves, but we won't because we have lost our work ethic in this country. They're building two or three new homes up and down the street that I'm living on. And since I work from home, I'm always looking out the window and I'm watching things, and I've been watching, you know, the crews as they come and go and what they do and what order they do it in and all of that sort of thing. And what's amazing is how efficient those Mexican crews are. When they show up, whether it's roofing or framing, everybody's got a job. Everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. They get it, and they set up, and they start handing off things, and they're carrying things and throwing things to each other. I watched a guy up on the roofing crew where they were carrying the shingles up to set them on the roof, and they had a ladder-vator on the ladder, you know, which carries the shingles up. But you're talking about the peak of a 12-12 roof up there, and there was a Mexican guy up there that looked like he was about 40, 45 years old, and he would walk along the peak of that roof, bend over, pick a bundle of shingles up, turn around, walk down the peak, make a turn, walk down the other peak, drop the bundle, come back, and he had a bounce in his step. He wasn't dragging along, you know, and it's 95 degrees outside. He was hoofing it, and they were sending those shingles up, and one guy laid all those shingles out for the entire crew. And they get it done. I mean, it is amazing to watch how organized and how fast they work. And then they go on to the next one. And as you start looking at these crews, you realize every once in a while you'll see a crew of white guys that'll show up to do something. And these guys literally look like they're homeless. They look like they slept in a dumpster last night. The way they look when they're at work, they're screaming back and forth, using the F word, you know, and there's women out there, you know, pushing their babies by in strollers. And these guys look like a bunch of convicts, you know, and they act like they have no home training whatsoever. I mean, it's just the difference is just stark, and it's depressing. It really is. And, you know, we can talk about building a wall and keeping people out all we want, but there's a reason that they're here, and there's a reason that they're getting hired, and it's not because they'll work for a lot less. They will work for less. But they'll actually work and they'll actually get the job done. Because I tell you one thing, today's American kids, there's no way in hell they would do that kind of work. They wouldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They don't know how to do it. And they don't have the motivation to do it. And the funny thing is I've seen Mexican crews and I've seen white crews. I haven't seen a single black crew. Not one. Evidently, they don't do construction work. And the reason that I bring this up is I was talking to Clint the other day, and I'm not going to divulge the details, but he basically made a purchase, and the salespeople basically lied to his face, just flat out lied to him to make the sale, and then gave him the runaround, you know. And, you know, that's what American business has turned into. And you look at Shark Tank. My wife and my son love to watch that show, Shark Tank. You know, and all it is, nobody's inventing anything productive and of value. It's all some kind of little gimmick that they can get made in China, or some kind of little cupcake making machine, or some kind of little, you know, baby bib that he glows in the dark, or some crap. There's no machining. There's no innovation. There's no, it's all some kind of consumerist gimmick that people want to get rich off of. They want to get online and sell this stuff and flip it and then sell out and live happily ever after. And they've done nothing productive. And that's a problem. That's a problem that we have to address. And it's something that I've told my son, you know, I don't really care if you go to college, that if you learn a trade and you get good at it, you'll do better than most people that have gone to college. He's got a lot of cousins that are halfway through college on the 5-6 year plan. There's no hope in sight. They're working at Walmart, you know. I mean, they're racking up student debt. And they'd have been a lot better off if they'd learned to weld or learned plumbing and gone out and actually showed up on time to do the job. You know, so when I talk about starting a second income stream, that's something that you need to keep in mind is do what you say you're going to do and do it when you say you're going to do it. And if something happens, let people know, communicate. I am very big. When I sell a knife, I send somebody an email as soon as possible, even if it's from my phone, even if I'm sitting in the middle of the river in my kayak and I see that an order came through, I stop what I'm doing and I type out a little message, got your order, it'll ship out first thing in the morning, it'll ship out later this afternoon, whatever. And I let them know, hey, they just spent $250, you know, on a custom skinning knife. I got you covered, man. There's nothing to worry about. And then I do what I say. I get up that night, I pack the order up, and the next morning, before I go to work, I drop it in the mailbox. I've got everything paid and everything done. I send them an email. Hey, your knife just went out. Here's the tracking number. It should be there in 2 days, 3 days, what have you. It's not that hard to do. But you know what? It sets you apart from everyone else. And that's the sad thing, is it shouldn't set you apart. That people should expect that. You know, another thing is under-promise and over-deliver. And that's something that I try and do. I don't put a lot of testimonials about my knives up, but I could, because you should see some of the testimonials that I get where people say, man, this thing is like it's part of my hand. It feels like it was made specifically to fit my hand. This thing glides through meat like butter. But as a matter of fact, I'm completely sold out of Meat Trapper Skinners right now. Completely sold out. And I've got another shipment that should be coming in soon. It's only going to be 6 blades. And I've got a new handle material. And I don't know if I should mention it or not, because I've only got one coming in. But what the heck, I'll spill the beans. It's made out of garfish scales. Because Mr. Hatchett and I were one of the first ones to introduce armadillo scale as a knife blade handle, and now we're going to garfish. So it's a very, very unique looking handle material. So if you're interested in a meat trapper skinner, just you can go to meattrapper.com, click on available knives, and hopefully in 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks, I'll have another set up there for sale. But anyway, you know, just some thoughts on that. When we're talking these political issues and everybody wants to, you know, build a wall and everything, that's fine, build a wall. But then we need to get our shit together and be willing to do the work that they're doing. And I think we're capable of doing it. I think we're capable of doing it better. And we can charge more for it, and people will pay more for a quality product. It's just that simple. You know, and the final thing I want to talk about tonight is, you know, I've talked about the whole thing that I don't believe a civil war is imminent because, you know, a variety of factors. I did an episode on that, and basically how these people are, they're parasites and they're all talk and everything. Well, what's interesting is the more we go along, the farther down this path in this country that we get, the more these people reveal the true nature of their character and just how utterly reprehensible these people are. I mean, the New York Times, there's a story out that's popular now. The New York Times hired this Asian woman to be on their editorial team. And of course, it comes out that she's got all these tweets where she hates white people and wants to kill white people and wants to kill all the men. And then she made a funny little tweet that she only wants to kill bad men, but that would be all men. And you know, how she did a tweet about how much joy and how much fun she derives from being mean to white people and how we need to kill all the white people. And it's, you know, and she's a little bitty sawed off lesbian Asian woman that lives in New York City. And you know, the chances of her defending herself or providing any food or services for herself is nil. But that's typical of these people. They're completely, totally, utterly dependent upon white men, and they hate white men. And I had a very, very interesting discussion with a friend about this topic, and the topic of why women hate men to such a degree these days, especially the conservative male. Why the conservative male is the scourge of the earth. And what they had to say was really insightful, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but basically what they were saying was that the reason that these urban women despise conservative white males is because we're a threat to their illusion of equality. Now let that sink in. Because you see, they're all about, they can do anything that a man can do. You know, women want to be Navy SEALs, they want to be Rangers, they want to be paratroopers, they want this, that, and the other, you know. It's like this, I don't understand the desire to prove that you can be something that you are not. That would be like me being jealous and desirous and needing to prove that I can be a good mother. I mean, the idea is ludicrous. It's laughable. I would never pretend to want to be a good mother or to think that I could be a good mother. But that's the moral and intellectual equivalent of these women who want to be Navy SEALs and Rangers. And when a conservative masculine male makes a statement or shows up on the scene, that just simply puts to lie their fantasy that they've created, and they despise that. And you see, the soy boys, the bearded, skinny jeans wearing soy boys, they're not a threat to this fantasy. So the soy boys are not only tolerated, but they're praised. And we are encouraged to emulate the soy boys, to take care of our anger management issues and all of that. And so I thought that was an interesting exchange. And that's one reason that I value the Patreon community so much, is because that's the kind of discourse that we have there. And, you know, given all of the crap that's going on in the country, it's just half of this nation has just collectively lost its mind. These people are just pathetic. I mean, there was another incident where Disney had fired a guy that worked for him. Disney's uber liberal these days. And the guy comes out, the guy had a bunch of tweets that he had put out that were really just pedophilic in nature, talking about young boys. And I mean, I'm not going to get into the tweets, but the liberals have actually mounted a campaign to get him rehired. And they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in PR campaigns to get this guy rehired. I mean, it's disgusting. It came out today that Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, she had a Chinese spy on her staff for 20 years. And when the FBI informed her, because you see, she's on the Senate Intelligence Committee. This senile old liberal bat from California, she has access to some of the most sensitive intelligence in the country. And her driver was a communist Chinese spy and had been for 20 years. She forced him to resign. Yeah, that was his punishment. She made him quit. And you see, this type of thing goes on every day, but they're standing up there screaming about Donald Trump colluded with the Russians. You know, it's absurd. It's unbelievable the level of stupidity that people in this country have achieved. I mean, you have to work really, really hard to become that freaking stupid to believe that. You know, another thing is to show you just how stupid people in this country have become. You know, think about this whole men get paid more than women for the same work crap. I mean, this has been repeated by CNN and the liberals so much that it's almost accepted fact. It's almost like global warming. Nobody can dispute it. It's not even open for discussion. Well, let me ask you this. If you're a business owner and you have two job candidates, you have a man and a woman, and the man is going to cost you $15 an hour and the woman's going to cost you $10 an hour, and they do the same work, why the hell would you ever hire the man? Huh? Why? Why would anybody ever hire a man if they can hire a woman to do the same work for less money? You'd have to be an idiot to hire a man if you got to pay him more money for the same job. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. But yet you can never say this on the media. It's like we're living in the Inquisition, where if you say that the earth revolves around the sun, they burn you at the stake. That's the place that we're at in this country. That if you question the status quo, you need to be put to death. That's just how far we've come. Is it no wonder that we have to have Mexicans put shingles on our roofs? when half the country thinks the Russians stole the election and gave it to Donald Trump. I wouldn't want those people to put a roof on my house. I wouldn't trust them to nail shingles in a straight line. Would you? Would you want these people doing anything for you? Would you want them operating on you? Would you want them working on your car, changing your brakes? No. That's why they don't do anything like that. That's why they're journalists, teachers, government administrators, bloggers, fashion designers, all of this bullshit that means nothing. Means nothing. And the final thing is, you know, I touched on minimalism last time, and you heard the intro to tonight's show. It's from an outstanding documentary about minimalism and basically, you know, walking away from this consumeristic middle class debt trap where people have dumpsters full of Chinese trinkets that they've paid for with money that they don't have. And during the process of my move, at one point I had almost everything we owned boxed up because we were getting ready to move, and then everything got pushed back a week or so, and we basically had to camp out in our house with nothing. Didn't even have, you know, skillets or anything to cook dinner in. And what was amazing was we really only missed four or five things. Out of all of the crap in a suburban household, out of all of the stuff, we missed a couple of things. And that was it. And I was, and really I'm grateful for that experience because it has honestly changed my outlook. And I am in the process of shedding a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And that's going to be one of my mottos going forward is simplify. Simplify, simplify, simplify. And you know, it's not only the shedding of physical goods, but let me leave you with this thought. It's the shedding of mental debris. The shedding of things that have happened in the past that you can't do anything about. Wars that you can't go back and refight. Injustices and wrongs that were done to you that you can't go back and make good. You just have to learn to move on and shed it like a snake sheds its skin. Leave that trash behind and go forward with a simpler mind, a simpler outlook, a simpler set of values. Make your decisions. Say yes, say no, and then move on. And don't worry about the consequences. You can't change the consequences. Worry's not going to change anything. So simplify. You'll be happier. I know I am. And now, before I forget, I'm going to talk about the winners of the Patreon trap giveaway. Now, I had originally decided to pick one winner to give traps to, a box of traps, but I decided, you know what, let's double that up. So I'm going to pick two guys here. And what I did is I went to random.org, and they have a random number generator. I counted up how many entries I had in the contest, and I put that as the upper and lower bounds and generated two random numbers, then counted down the page and selected the winners. And winner number one is Chris. And Chris had posted that he lives about an hour and a half north of Evansville, Indiana, and he comes through Clarksville once a month on his way to Nashville. And so Chris, contact me, meattrapper@gmail.com. Give me your shipping address, and I'll get the traps out to you Monday morning. And winner number two is Kevin Sharp. And Kevin, do the same thing. Contact me, meattrapper@gmail.com. Give me your shipping address. And I've also private messaged both of you guys through Patreon itself with a notification that you were chosen as winners. And I'd like to thank everybody else who entered. And trust me, this is not going to be the last giveaway. As I get more stuff unpacked and as I get my gear ready for the coming season, we're going to do a couple of more of these giveaways. Also, I want to say thank you to everybody on Patreon for your support, because what I've been able to do with your support, the latest project that I'm done is I've put together sort of a grab bag of equipment that I am sending down to Lower Alabama to the Alabama Trapping for Boys and Girls Facebook page. And so I'm making a donation to those guys down there, some traps, some knives, knife sharpeners, and things like that. I'd also like to thank Brian McKee at SouthernSnares.com for providing some of the material that was that I'm sending down to the guys on Facebook down there. I've been watching their videos. So John and Lee down there in Lower Alabama, you guys have got a goodie box coming. And don't thank me. Thank the Patreon supporters, and thank SouthernSnares.com. So anyway, I'm looking forward to this season, and I hope this episode has been useful. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bless my heart, bless my soul.
hold on. When everybody looking at you funny, you got to hold on.